On the phone with us this morning is Don Sherman. And Don and his group, a guest at many speaking engagements around town to give folks information about something or someone lurking in Minnesota that we may not be aware of. Don, thanks so much for joining us this morning. Great to have you on the line with us.
Good morning, Lisa. Great to be here.
Don is the co-founder of the Northern Minnesota Bigfoot Research Team. So tell us how this team was put together, how and when the team was put together, Don.
We put the team together back in 2006 when there was a sighting over on over towards Bena, Minnesota on that 6 Mile Lake Road. A grader operator discovered some tracks alongside the road, so we stopped grading them and got out and looked at them. And that's how we got started. We heard that, then I casted some tracks there, and that's how I met Bob Olson. He did the same thing, and so that's Bob Olson from Deer River. That's how we formed our team.
So
Did
you have an interest in trying to track down Bigfoot before this?
I had an interest in it before, since Patterson film came out in 1967. But then after a while, I just kind of lost interest in it until those tracks, they've discovered those tracks again. Actually, back in my early, late 20s, I saw one west of Balcom, Minnesota, when I was out deer hunting.
You saw a Bigfoot?
Yeah.
What'd it look like? What was that encounter like?
I was hunting, walking along about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and it was a bright sunny day. And I seen this reddish tall thing in front of me, and I trying to figure out what the heck it was, and I never seen anything like it in my life. So I said, that couldn't be a moose. And at that time, I never thought about a Bigfoot. And so I was trying to figure out what that was, standing tall, upright position. And then I heard this loud tree knock to the right of me. And I turned my head. And then when I turned back, it ran off into the woods so fast. It was like, I never seen anything move so fast in my life. So that was my first experience, and only experience I've ever seen one. But it had long, reddish-brown hair.
Well, of course, the debunkers say, nah, there isn't any such thing. We've got heat-sensing, you know, photography, and we got this, 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 and this. And there's basically no way that something like that could exist that we wouldn't have discovered or found by now.
Yeah, there's so many people now that are catching them on thermal imaging cameras, game trail cameras. The technology is out there now, and more people are seeing them than ever before. But, I mean, there are so many stories, even this area where I live on the Leech Lake Indian Reservation, where just in my area alone, people now coming out of woodwork and telling their stories of all over the years of it's amazing how many people have encounters of these things.
So,
blows me away.
So how come the debunkers are still debunking? How come we don't?
Well, you're going to always have debunkers no matter what. It's just one of those things.
So when you do a program, as you do, like at the library or something, what does a program kind of focus on?
Well, I've done programs for kids before, and I just put a PowerPoint presentation together explaining my theory on it, because I'm not really an expert. There isn't really no experts out there, because we don't have that much of an evidence, but it... My theory is, from listening to the Native American elders here on the reservation, talking to medicine men and stuff like that, and then they've had sightings here for, who knows, hundreds and hundreds of years. And so just from that experience that I have, and I tell them about that, And then I have recordings of, not my recordings, but other recordings that people have from other people's encounters where they recorded their voices, their howls, their language, stuff like that. I meant, it's amazing. That's, so I kind of put that together and then explain that to kids. And sometimes, and I'll tell the kids, you know, turn down, close your eyes, and then and listen. So then I'll put that vocalization. It's amazing with the kids. The kids just love it.
Boy, I bet they do. You think it actually manages to drag their attention away from their iPads and iPhones and that sort of thing?
Absolutely.
Well,
yes.
And get them outside and doing a little bit more exploring.
Yep.
So what's...
More and more kids. It's amazing how many kids, the young kids are interested in this. I'm starting to get more and more schools that want me to speak.
So what's the what's the next project for the team, Don? Do you travel around looking and doing research, or do you kind of wait until somebody gives you a call and says, come on out and check this out?
We kind of wait until we hear stories, and we'll go check it out.
So no stories right now that you're in the process of investigating?
No, it's actually been pretty quiet lately. But here's kind of an interesting thing that we have noticed and putting two to two together, that whenever there's a lot of Bigfoot sightings, there seems to be a lot of UFO sightings. I don't know if there's a connection. There's more and more Bigfoot researchers across the United States are doing the same thing, putting two to, they're having the same experience that we are. Whenever there's Bigfoot sightings, there's UFO sightings, which is kind of interesting.
So the next time we get some the next time the UFOs start making the national news, we'll need to give you a call again and see what's up.
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, Don, thanks so much for taking some time to talk to us this morning. Travel safely, okay?
I will. Thank you very much.
Don Sherman joined us this morning. He is the co-founder of the Northern Minnesota Bigfoot Research Team.